Good afternoon on this Saturday, July 17th, 2021. This is the St. Pete Sports Connection on RadioSt.Pete.com. We are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on a super Saturday down here in the heart of the home of the world champion, two-time Stanley Cup champions, the Tampa Bay Lightning. And what a Monday it was in Tampa Bay, if you will. I had just gotten back from Colorado. I was glad to see that the parade got moved till Monday. I just absolutely loved that. I was in Chicago in 1985, the Super Bowl parade downtown. I was out in Colorado, 2016, the Denver Broncos. But that it's just a slice of the Tampa Bay area with boat parades. And I do believe that this one exceeded the excitement and the uniqueness of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Here comes my man, Buster. He'll be on the air here in about 15 minutes. Talk a lot of soccer. My man, his father, Andy DeLay, the DeLay Duo. That's what I'm going to start calling him. And we're going to get you your own show, by the way, young man. Anyway, here we are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Grab yourself a soda, tell her it's on me, and your dad a water or something. Live radio, of course, down here. And I'm excited to be back. I've been gone 2 weeks. It seems like an eternity. You probably were excited and got to listen to some good music while I was gone. But I'll tell you what, the future's so bright, I'm going to have to wear shades all the time down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill because we've got some exciting news coming around the corner, I assure you. You're going to want to listen to RadioSt.Pete.com, all of our platforms that you can hear us on. Spotify, Apple, Sunshine 96.7 FM has some unbelievable changes coming to it, all positive, trying to absolutely own the local music marketplace, and we want to fill this block of afternoons with sports that you really want to listen to, and I'm making some changes to this production where we'll be talking to people from all over the country via the phone lines, and some exciting news coming out of St. Pete Sports Connection. Log on to stpsportsconnection.com, by the way, if you are traveling or at home and you want to listen to the show live. And it's archived as well, and that's stpsportsconnection.com. I got to talk just a tad before the interview start on our social media blowing up. And it's certainly not because of anything I've done. It's the topics that I've chosen. There's my man, Andy DeLay. I already gave Buster a shout-out. He's grabbing you some water, soda. He's a good kid. Anyway, they'll be on here, like I said, in about 12, 15 minutes. But I have to thank Taylor and even my kids that are helping me, my own children, with my social media. I posted 11 days ago, and this is how incredible this area is. And I post on St. Pete Sports Connections Facebook on Arian Knighton. He's the fastest teenager in the world. You saw that incredible story. He's in Tokyo right now, 200 meters. He beat Usain Bolt's world record in 18 and under and 20 and under. That's an incredible story. Then Trayvon Brommel, just about 2 miles south of here from Gibbs High, won the 100 meters. So there's two kids on the track team from this area. And then in Bradenton, you got Nellie and Jessica and the Corda girls. They're playing right now in match play. And they're representing this area. And then, of course, what did Pete Alonso do on Monday night? He just crushed everybody in the All-Star game in the Home Run Derby. I happened to be there in Coors Field exactly 1 week prior with my son and my daughter-in-law and had a blast. And the Rockies, anytime the Cardinals get beat, I'm a happy man. And it was a walk-off by the Rockies, so just a spectacular time. But there's five incredible athletes in a short window representing Tampa Bay on the world stage. So it doesn't get much better than that. And there's a reason why they called it Tampa Bay. And the Lightning, of course, proved that. Right now, great game last night. The Braves and the Rays went in the 10th inning. I'm thinking, here we are. I mean, they're having an incredible season. And for some reason, I just feel like there's going to be a repeat of 2020 with the Rays getting to the World Series. When you've got everybody coming back from a Super Bowl team, I think the Bucks have an incredible opportunity ahead of them as well. So last night, extra inning games have not been their thing this year, even though they got a great record. They're only they're a game and a half out because Boston beat the Yanks last night. But the bottom line is this. They did get a win under pressure on the road. And, of course, we know that and Charlie Morton, who should still be with the Rays, in my opinion, was on the mound for the Braves. Nice win up in Atlanta. And they're on again tonight, 7:20. Fergs will have all the action down here on 85 of our televisions. And I guess that's the first part of the intro. Let's go over like I like to do, and then we'll dive into on the tee, because this is one of my favorite no sleeping four-day periods as the British Open is on. You properly have to call it the Open now, which is ludicrous. It's in Britain. What do we call the U.S. Open? The Open? No, it's the U.S. Open. That's the British Open. Has been for 160 years. And now in this environment we live in, I won't get into the politics of it, but make sure you clarify from now on when you're talking to your friends. The Open, not the British Open. But incredible event. So I will go over that. Let's go over the baseball standings, then I'll dive into the leaderboard. If you were an idiot like me, you could have got up at 1:30 in the morning each day, each morning, and watched the British Open. Yesterday I slept in till 4 a.m. and started watching the British Open. Today, because they had the cut, I got a break. I didn't have to start watching till 7 a.m. So I'll watch the entire thing in its entirety when I get home. And then tomorrow, it'll be a 7 o'clock Sunday morning wake-up call. So I can enjoy the British Open. I'll never say open. In the AL East, Boston 1.5 on top of our Rays. Toronto's 8 back. The New York Yankees just talked to a hapless Yankee fan, unfortunately. I grew up a lifelong Yankee fan, and that's the best team money can buy that can't perform for what they're paid. Baltimore, who's in town Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at the Trop, they're 26 back. Watch the Rays trip a little bit. That's happened several times this year. But anyway, hopefully not. In the Central, the Chicago White Sox. I don't think anybody in that division is going to touch them. They're 8 and top of the Tribe. Can I say Tribe? Can I say Tribe anymore, Andy?
I think that's not the woke me saying. Or me.
Well, listen, my grandchildren are Native. My daughter-in-law is Native. And they're on my side, to tell you the truth, on most of this. Anyway, the Tribe are 8 back. Then the Detroit Tigers, 15. The Minnesota Twins, as I've been saying since baseball started, the biggest disappointment in the AL besides the Yankees probably. They're 15 back. And then the Kansas City Royals, 18 back in the Central. In the West, it's the Cheaters. Well, I'm sorry. You're not supposed to call them the Cheaters anymore, but I still do. The Houston Astros are 3.5 on top of the Oakland A's. That's the team I pull for in the I like small market teams. And so I'll pull for the A's. They are 3.5 back. Then you got Seattle. The Los Angeles Angels, who I think if they were healthy with the stars that they've got on that team, and of course Joe Maddon. Anyway, they may rally, but I think it's another 3-4 weeks before Trout comes back. And then the Texas Rangers, 19.5. That's the AL standings. In the NL, in the East, the New York Mets. I pick up the Post every day, and they're getting all the headlines now. Yankees are pushed to the back of the Post and not the back page. And unless it's something horrific, they like that. The Post likes that kind of coverage. And I love the Post. Anyway, the New York Mets, 3 on top of the Phillies. Then Atlanta, who's now 5 back after last night's game against the Rays. Washington, 6 back. Those teams, I like to see this time of year teams that are in contention. And in some of these divisions, it's a runaway, but I think that's going to be. That's up for grabs. In the Central, the Milwaukee Brewers, the Brew Crew, are 4 on top of the Reds. My Chicago Cubs, 8 back, and then St. Louis. I wish St. Louis was 18 back, like Pittsburgh, but they're 8 back. And then in the West, which is still the best story in baseball this year, in my opinion, is the San Francisco Giants. 2 on top of the Dodgers. Padres are 6 back. Colorado, who I've become, I'm on their bandwagon because my son lives out there and I went to a couple games. And that's a great sports town, by the way. Denver has not had a lot of success of late. And I tell you what, people are still faithful to the Broncos, the Avalanche, the Nuggets, and they love their Rockies. And that is a great stadium, nestled, and that's what they should do here. It's nestled right in the middle of all the action, the sports bars, the restaurants, all within walking distance. If you ever get a chance, get out to Coors Field. It is literally cool. And then there's Arizona, the poor Diamondbacks, 32.5 back. Maybe they should just put up the white flag and call it a season. Anyway, let's go to On the Tee. As I mentioned, On the Tee is coming to the airwaves of RadioSt.Pete.com. You'll be able to listen to it on St. Pete Sports Connection.com as well. And I mentioned that the Par Bar, just waiting for a couple of things to take place. It's about 9 blocks from here. That will be our home, the Par Bar. And this week we would have been covering, and we're going to do a lot of interactive social media giveaways. We're going to do giveaways for trivia on Happy Gilmore, Caddyshack, Tin Cup. Even if you're not a big fan of golf, you certainly have watched those movies, and you might remember all the ludicrous lines that I have down pat. I'm a plethora of unimportant information. But the Open Championship, the British Open, is at Royal St. George's Club in Sandwich, England. And right now, I love this cat. I met him in Iowa. Louis Oosthuizen from South Africa. Louis won the John Deere Classic. They give away a tractor every year. You would have thought they gave him a Bentley. And he has, he just bought some land up by Ocala, a farm. But he farms, and he only shows up typically in the majors. And if I don't have a red, white, and blue on that leaderboard, I would be pulling for Louis Oosthuizen. Colin Morikawa, who's an up-and-coming stud, he's 2 back. Well, when I left this morning, and I can't see the television from here, I might have to send these young eyes Buster to get me an update. And then Jordan Spieth was 2 off the pace. Dustin Johnson. I'm just going to mention all the U.S. flags. I like to see the Americans go over to the British Open and kick butt. That's just my red, white, and blue coming out. So it's an easier track than typically over there in Britain. And the weather has been very nice. No rain. It's kind of disappointing. Typically, it's rainy and windy. The guys got coats on. They look like they're golfing in Iowa in December. But very nice conditions, so you'll see low scores. And so that's your On the Tee update here on RadioSt.Pete.com. And St. Pete Sports Connection. Let's see if I got anything else that I need to. Oh, as I mentioned, Trayvon Brommel, I'm going to be efforting his coach, high school coach and his youth coach, to talk. The Olympics, actually, the opening ceremonies are next Friday. It just blows me away how fast things are escalating here. And how fast life goes when you get to be a dinosaur. As I mentioned, on the Tee, we're going to have the Golf Channel. I got a bevy of guys there. We're going to have Golf Week magazine guys. They'll call in. We'll stop in. Then we're going to assemble a small army of local pros so they can promote everything that's happening right here in the greater St. Pete, Tampa area from a golf perspective. And we certainly know that. I mean, just look at that leaderboard right now. I mean, Brooks Koepka, he's a Florida State graduate. I mean, you could go on and on and on in the great events that take place. As I mentioned, you're on RadioSt.Pete.com, StPeteSportsConnection.com. You can catch us each and every Saturday from 12:15 until 2 o'clock. And yesterday I had a great day. I went over and met our new printer, Ace High Printing. He's going to do all the printing for Sunshine 96.7 FM and St. Pete Sports Connection On the Tee. And this owner, Rick Herbert, give him a call. Well, just log on to his website, acehighprint.com. Best pricing in the area, I assure you. And quality work, and he's a great young entrepreneur, knows what he's doing, and that is Ace High Printing. Rick Herbert, he's the owner, he's the operator, and thoroughly enjoyed meeting him yesterday. And we have an announcement. We can't go into detail right now, but it has to do with pickleball. And it's going to be at a world-level launch. It's going to take place down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. You'll get more details as we progress, but I was in a 4-hour meeting yesterday, and I've never been so impressed with a promoter. This Billy McGee is his name. He used to be the president of the Tampa Bay Lightning when they first came to town. And this guy is a smooth operator, was a professional tennis player. He's a good friend of Mark Ferguson's, and I sat there for 4 hours, and I didn't realize pickleball is enormous. There's 5 million people playing pickleball right now in America, and that demographic is typically old folks like me. Now it's expanding into the youth. And I'm going to have to get Buster out there, because 14-year-olds are starting to play this game. And I'll give you a schooling in the sport of pickleball. You know why it's great for an old guy? You don't have to move too far. And I'm sure you've never seen it yet, but pickleball is pretty cool. All right, now let's go and talk. You want to talk soccer first with the Wizard, or should we talk a little racing?
Yeah, let's put a Buster on. He's all charged up.
Are you charged up, buddy?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, let's do this. You've heard him on our airwaves before. He's Buster DeLay, and I've been talking to a lot of people that are soccer fanatics about you, man, because I'm very impressed at the homework you do, your retention, and the timing couldn't be better. I just got back from Colorado, and I told you my son's a soccer nut.
Yeah.
Put you up here, you know, soccer Einstein. But anyway, the bottom line is this. Italy beating England, what do you think of that? I had to watch the whole game because my son was riveted to it. And so I took Italy on the bets just to pee everybody off.
Yeah.
And so I was a winner chicken dinner. But did you follow any of that?
Yeah, I watched the whole game. And I have mixed feelings because on one hand, I feel bad for England because...
You never feel bad for England. Well, come on, well, man. And the Italians have the mob. You got to be careful who you side with. Come on.
All right.
No, so, I'm sorry. I won't interrupt.
No. Well, just because of the history behind England, they hadn't won a major trophy in a while.
Did you mean the losers that they've been? Is that what you meant? Not the history? Because I was shocked that they weren't that successful.
Yeah, they're a big team. I feel like they should have more, but
yeah.
All the fans were like doing the it's coming home, it's coming home. That's like it's coming. It's coming back to England. The trophy's coming to England, and they were very adamant about it coming back to England. But it ended up going to Italy, and I think in the course of the game, Italy absolutely deserved it. Luke Shaw scored in the third minute from a cross by Kieran Trippier. And that was really, after that goal in the third minute of the game, England just kind of started to go downhill. Italy dominated, but they just couldn't find the goal because England's goalkeeper, Jordan Pickford, just pulled off a couple crazy saves.
He played fabulous.
Yeah, he played incredible.
I can figure that part out of the game when somebody blocks something. I'm like, hey, that was cool. My son's going to be like, yeah, Dad, that's how you play the game. You don't let the ball go in that net thing there. But I gotta say something to you. You said England was adamant. It begins with an A, but England was arrogant. That was my opinion.
Yes, I also agree with that.
But you're too nice to say that, yeah. So I'll do the dirty work for you.
I'll decide with you.
Or pompous, as many people think their society is in many cases. But they, and my son said, he goes, they're cocky.
Incredibly cocky.
Exactly.
I mean, almost all their games were played at home because it's the Euro competition. So, like, a lot of the teams wouldn't play in their hometown. Like, for example, if Hungary played against France, it might be played in Lisbon, Portugal or something. So,
really? In a neutral site?
Yes. But a lot of England's games were played in Wembley Stadium, which is in London. So,
and my son was there last year. No, 2019. And he said it was amazing.
It's a very nice stadium, but almost all of England's games are played on home soil. And the fans, like in the semifinal against Denmark, they get a penalty in the 104th minute, England. And the fans are shining green lasers in the Denmark goalkeeper's eyes to try to put him off from the save.
Are you kidding me?
He still saved the penalty, but then Harry Kane followed it in.
They deserve to lose.
Yeah, I agree.
That infuriates me even more, you friggin' losers.
They were fine. They were firing fireworks off in front of the team's hotel the night before.
They're nuts over there about soccer.
They were arrogant and cocky, but also really, really, really wanted to bring it home. But they didn't even end up doing that. And I thought they were going to in the third minute. It was a really good start. I mean, their left back, one of their defenders of all people, puts them up in the third minute. Looks like it might be their day. But then Leonardo Bonucci, one of the two center backs for England for Italy, who were just a brick wall with Donnarumma in goal, he leveled it up, and then eventually Italy would go on to win on penalties. And after the 90 minutes, played another 30 minutes for extra time, and then went to penalties at the end, and England missed three penalties in a row. It was a wild penalty shootout. I was on
that
the
was
edge
pretty
of,
cool.
It was wild. And Italy got to the point where they just had to score to win, and Jorginho stepped up, who, in my opinion, is one of the best penalty kick takers in the world.
Mine too.
And then England's goalkeeper, Pickford, saved it. Like, he saved it, it came off the post, and then he grabbed it.
And that was a cool play, too.
That was the...
My sons, they erupted, awesome. And his buddies on that
I
particular
erupted.
Play.
I erupted.
Yeah, they were... That was an incredible play. That was a SportsCenter, like, four times play.
And then, of all people, comes 19-year-old, doesn't have too much experience taking penalties, Bukayo Saka.
I felt sorry for him, even though they lost.
I felt so sorry for them. Because
why would they put that 19-year-old young kid in that position? That was my question.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people were asking.
It's like putting a freshman in a football game with no time left for the national championship to kick a 65-yard field goal. You don't put a freshman in. Again, you deserve the LOSE.
Yep. So I was asking the same questions as well on why he was the one to step up to take that. But Gareth,
did he offer? I mean, he wanted to take it, or did the coach tell him?
The coach told him. Gareth Southgate, the England coach.
They're probably sending him south now.
But he said the reason for that was because in training they practice penalties, and he sent the five best penalty kick takers with, like, from training, whoever had the best record would step up to take it.
That's fair.
That means a seventh penalty kick taker in that line would have been England's own goalkeeper to take the penalty. A couple more, the goalkeeper would have taken. But
and they never do they?
Goalkeepers are normally the last one.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
And Jack Grealish as well, a person that was maybe more cut out to take the penalty, was saying he stood by the manager's decision, but he was also willing to take a penalty. So I feel like even the England players don't even understand why Saka took that penalty, and I haven't ever seen Bukayo Saka take a penalty kick in a real game. Maybe in a penalty shootout once or twice, but never in a real game. So he's young. The whole trophy is literally, it depends on what he does. And
the whole country is expecting him to make it.
And what's even worse is that...
Too much pressure.
The three guys that... missed the penalty, Marcus Rashford, Jadon Sancho, and Bukayo Saka. Because these fans are just crazy.
Over the top.
Yeah, they racially abused the three guys.
I saw that.
On their Instagrams, Twitters, socials. And these poor guys, they're going from being vibrant and posting all this stuff to then just a couple days of nothing. And I just can't imagine.
Remind me of New York fans. Brutal.
I just can't imagine how sad these guys are, and they played their heart out. I mean, they wouldn't, if it wasn't for Saka, they wouldn't be in that position because he got the assist that set up the first goal for England in the game before. So he shouldn't feel too bad about it because a lot of the fans of England were just being jerks. So,
well, you're listening to the StPSportsConnection.com. And arguably, that is the best replay, play-by-play, knowing the names, the circumstances. I'm not even going to ask you the time. You probably got the time down. But that's how impressed I am with this young man, Buster DeLay. And I just keep shaking my head looking at his dad because it's very impressive.
Thank you.
And now let's talk something that's near and dear to everybody's heart, even if they're not sports fans right now, is... wearing the red, white, and blue and talking Olympics. Now, why don't you just give us a perspective of what kind of team we really have, the U.S.? We know the women won, and it's been shoved down our throats on every merchandise box out there in America, all over the world, and rightfully so. Congratulations to them. But they're getting all kinds of pub. And I think the men don't get discussed. Even on, I watch CBS Sports and ESPN, you know, 24/7 just to, so I can try to retain a name or two. I'm going to have you start watching for me. I'll pay you. You send me the name so I can read them right here on the show. But what kind of team do we have and what are our chances? I see we just won the other night.
Yeah. So, we won 6-1 the other night.
We pounded the heck out
pounded.
Of them. I forgot. I got 14. I got to watch my language. Pounded the heck out of them. You're keeping me straight here, Buster. That's hard to do. Well, you keep your old man straight. That's hard to do, too. So, yeah. All right. So, what kind of team do we have? Do we have a shot?
Oh, yeah. We definitely do. The reason we didn't get a lot of like publicity before is because our team wasn't nearly as good as the women's team. And I've seen both the women's national team for the USA and the men's national team for the USA play in real life. And as of a couple years ago.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. As of a couple years ago when I've seen them, I can tell you the women's team is just miles above the men's. The men's team has their good moments, or had, I'm talking about in the previous years. But the women's team was just, used to be so much superior. I mean, they might still be because they're just phenomenal.
Why is that? Is there not enough focus in the youth and high school on the boys and then young men? And then
that's what it was. It was because a lot of our players right now, our standout players, are youth players. So that's what we have a chance in. That's why we weren't as publicized before, I believe, because we didn't have as good of a youth development. But now we do. We have young players that went from the league the Tampa Bay Rowdies are in to now playing in the highest levels of Europe.
Now, we talked about this before at the Rowdies, as you proudly wear their gear, which is really cool, and I like that flag on the left arm. Are they like, you know, in baseball you've got Major League, you got Triple A, Double A. Are the Rowdies like Triple A?
The Rowdies are one level under the highest.
Okay, so that'd be Triple A in baseball.
Yeah,
okay,
if you say so.
Well, okay.
Because I don't know anything about baseball.
But when you don't need to. You know enough about soccer. One day I'll be sitting in my rocker watching CBS Sports or ESPN on some platform, and they'll be talking about. You'll be 34 years old, and they'll be saying, "And Buster DeLay, who's been on the air for 20 years, our foremost soccer expert, break it down for us, will you, Buster? Yeah, that's where I anticipate seeing you in 20 years.
Yeah, give me a call."
Well, no, yeah, I'll be giving you a call from the retirement home. Hey, can you swing by and see me? I knew you back in the day, kid. I gave you your first break. All right, so let's go back into this U.S. team. We do have a legitimate chance to medal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I think we'll get far. We have a lot of good forwards, such as Christian Pulisic is our, like, he's the guy that almost everyone knows in like American soccer.
Kid that I saw make a shot the other day?
You might be thinking of was it number 9?
Yes,
that's Jaycee Zardes.
Yes.
He's a heck of a player. He's an incredible finisher. He is good in the air, good with like his head aerial, and he's very fast. And we also have him as our probably going to be our like front guy, star striker. We have Pulisic on the left, who plays for Chelsea in the Premier League. He's quick. He's incredibly agile. He's got good skill moves.
All of our guys have to be born on U.S. soil, or can we have immigrants that get citizenship? Do you know?
I think born on U.S. soil, possibly immigrants with citizenship, or if one of your parents is from the U.S.
Okay.
So even if you were born in, let's say, just pick a country, or Spain, and your dad's from Spain, if one of your parents is from Spain, and your other parent is from the USA, you can represent either Spain or the USA.
Really?
Or in a cool situation, let's say you were born in, like, Peru, and your dad's from Spain and your mom's from the USA, you can represent the USA, Spain, or Peru.
Wow.
So you got choices.
That's a great free agency you can pick. All right. First of all, where am I going to make the most dough? Where am I going to get the opportunity to play the most? And where will my name become huge on the world stage?
Like Aymeric Laporte, He was born, I think, I'm not entirely sure who he was born, but he represented France but never played a competitive game for them, so he switched to Spain and then played almost, I think, every game in the Euro tournament. So, and
Buster,
now he's...
Buster, don't worry if you're not sure about something, because anybody listening here, you're an expert as far as they're concerned. Whatever comes out of your young mouth is gospel on my to my audience. Your dad does that with NASCAR, man. So, no. So,
like father, like son.
No, you... Well, we'll talk about that off the air. But, all right, so you do think we have a legitimate chance.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I watch every sport. When the Olympics are on, I'm 24-7. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the rules for half of them. And there's some new sports coming out. Your generation of sports are going to enjoy. Of course, what do you call them, the X Games?
Yeah.
I think they're represented now in the Olympics, sports like that. Water skiing is? Surfing. Surfing is. Yeah, it blows me away. But so we have a legitimate chance to medal. That's good to hear.
I think so.
Now, who's the favorite to win the gold?
In the Olympics?
In the Olympics. What country would you say?
Yeah.
Because the pros, like the guys that played last week in Italy and in England, those guys can be on their Olympic team too, right?
I believe so. Some of the Olympic teams I was seeing were using some of the players that didn't get played as much.
They couldn't practice until recently, yeah.
So I think, honestly, and I'm not just being biased, except maybe I am, but I think the USA have a very high chance of going far in it.
Well, God bless you, son. we'll give them the old red, white, and blue stamp. That's great to hear. Now, the women, probably the preeminent favorites?
Yeah. I if they don't win, something's wrong. I mean,
because they basically have the same team back, don't they?
Yeah. They of course they get some new players, but their front line, Tobin Heath, Megan Rapinoe, and Alex Morgan, Carly Lloyd, players like that. They're incredibly good.
And I don't see the women getting soft again like they were for decades because of the momentum they've got. And every little girl wants to be one of those soccer athletes that. You see their image all over the world, and they're recognized, and so now they're all playing. It's great for the sport, that's for sure.
Indeed. Like, I can remember, I was in Atlanta, actually, because I was watching an Atlanta United game, and before they were broadcasting the Women's World Cup final in the summer of 2019, and so we got to watch it at the stadium. If the U.S. scored, have you ever been to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta?
I was in the parking lot last year. I was at all their old stadiums. I hadn't been there, and I'm a stadium guy. And it didn't even have a game. I was driving back from Iowa. I thought, you know what, I'm going to pull in there. That's pretty impressive.
It's
inside it, but it's
craziest
just spectacular.
Stadium. It's the craziest stadium ever. The architecture on it is just crazy. But they have horns inside whenever an Atlanta team scores, because I think the Atlanta Falcons play in there,
yep,
too.
Yeah, the Falcons play there.
So... whenever a team scores, the horn goes off, fire shoots out, and the guys behind the goal just go crazy, take their shirt off, and blow confetti. It's crazy.
So they love the sport there, obviously.
Yeah, soccer in Atlanta, that team is just adored by everyone.
Really? That shocks me.
And there's something that's on my mind as well. So Joseph Martinez is Atlanta's star player.
Okay.
He's also my favorite player. In any league, he's my idol.
Joseph Martinez?
Yeah, Joseph.
Where's he from?
Venezuela.
Okay.
So, he sadly is saying that it's his last year at the club, which is making me very sad. I just thought I'd point out for anyone that follows MLS, anybody that follows MLS will know Joseph Martinez.
Well, my son does, I'm sure. I throw these names out that I get from you, and he's like, Pops. Where'd you pull that one out of? None of your beeswax. I got insider information, dude.
So, it's just very sad for me because I adore the guy. I have a shirt of him. It's my dream to meet him. I've seen him score 2 goals in real life.
Did you hear that, Pops? His dream is to meet him. So,
yeah. Joseph Martinez, if you hear me, hit me up, man.
I'm writing his name down right now. We got to see if we can.
J-O-S-E-F. E-F.
E-F.
Yep. And then Martinez.
It's not Martinez? I'm kidding.
I've heard it.
I'm terrible.
Over there, I've seen Atlanta versus New England. Come on, Joseph, to score a goal. Score hat trick. Make the fans love you even more. Stay in Atlanta, please.
Oh, so he wants to go another team. He doesn't want to quit.
He wants to. He doesn't want to go to another team, but the coach, he's having an issue with the coach.
Well, if that guy is a household name in the world of soccer, keep him.
Yeah, get the coach. The coach, to be honest, the coach hasn't really done much. We've gotten like one win under him. He signed a couple players that haven't done too much. They're good players, but keep Joseph Martinez. I mean, the guy.
Okay, we archive these.
Yeah.
So I think what we need to do is get it to you. Nice to meet you, man. You buy that Babe Ruth apartment. I'm doing a show live from there, brother.
Okay.
Okay, watch yourself. You're going to get whacked.
I'll give you my credit card.
All right. Anyway, here we are talking soccer with, I'm sorry, but probably one of the foremost knowledgeable people in the Bay Area and the world of soccer. And I mean that not because you're sitting across from me. You should be proud of yourself.
Thank you.
And we got to figure out to get you a podcast. And we got to, and I'm working on a marketing piece. I'm going to show you pops. And we got to get you a show. We got to talk to Joe, which it'll happen. And then we got to get you a show because then, this is a selfish part of it, we change our demographic by about 50 years. And all your buddies and all your social media, you got to let them know we're St. Pete Sports Connection. Your picture's going to be on my website. It's going to be on Radio St. Pete.
Well, actually, we're one step ahead of you on that. Buster will tell you all about what we got planned right now.
Yep. Well, breaking news right here on St. Pete Sports Connection.
Yep, and just so you know, I have been shouting you out because I have been putting on my Instagram. That's my main platform, Instagram. That I'm gonna be doing these little talks. I got a couple people watching, so I hope that's good to hear.
That's great to hear.
Yep,
and you're gonna have to, in all seriousness, help me with my Instagram.
Yes.
My Facebook's blowing up right now. I had Pete Alonso. I had the two young sprinters from Hillsboro High and Gibbs that are going to the Olympics. I had the two young girls from Bradenton that are going to represent us in golf. I posted on all that five, on the world stage what they're doing. And as of this morning, in 11 days, I had 22,000 people.
Wow.
22,000. I'm like, how in the hell is this happening? I'm calling people. These numbers got to be wrong. I'll show them to you. So now's the time to create the marketing piece and take the picture. But I need help on the Instagram side.
Yeah.
And then we'll put you on our world and blow it up. So finish your breaking news
here. And I got a big announcement. I'm going to be starting a podcast. I've been planning it, thinking about it, the ideas that I want to do. I'm going to be calling it the Rowdies Rundown and World Soccer Report. So it's going to provide an in-depth analysis of soccer. A lot with the Rowdies and then also around the world. Like, for example...
One more time. The Rowdies?
The Rowdies Rundown
and
World Soccer Report.
I like it.
So, I'm going to be...
You'll be getting plugs every week here and everywhere on my social media.
Thank
and then
you're
going to have to help. We got to come up with some kind of an image for you, like we did with your pops, and we'll put it on the website too, okay?
All right. Sounds
great.
Man.
So, deal. Do you have any idea hour when we're going to put it on? Okay. Well, if you're going to record it, we'll slip it into the rotation probably right after my show.
Sounds great.
So we'll go same. And I'm talking out loud, folks. Sorry, but it'll be kind of great for everybody out there, broadening our spectrum. We'll have Burning Rubber Radio, St. Pete Sports Connection. We'll have your show and then on the tee. Because Joe has given me the blessing to fill up that Saturday. And that's a lot of diversity.
That sounds great.
Yeah, which is great. And finally, an expert on one of the shows. finally, somebody with in-depth knowledge, not just flapping their jaws. So, congratulations.
When
do you think you're going to roll with this?
Hopefully in the upcoming weeks.
Okay.
I'm going to try to make it like start off with like 15 minutes. I'll see how it goes, but maybe 15, 20-minute podcast. And
get it to a half hour. Eventually,
we'll
dump it in there.
Because
I'll make on the tee a half an hour, and that'll fill up an hour for us.
All right, that sounds great. That sounds great. Yeah. Half hour sounds good.
Oh, I know you can go a half hour. Oh, my God.
I could, if you want me, put me on for 24 hours. I'll talk until I drop.
Well, and one thing, this is just advice, because we're going that direction, as far as your audience, maybe even talk local high school.
yep.
soccer because nobody's yep. doing that. Nobody is talking local soccer. And I, as I always did in my company, from the peewees to the preps to the pros. So you need some element of that Rowdy's Rundown and World Soccer Report, local high school coverage.
For sure. And, you know, I could even get, like, a up-close information on it because I'm going to, as the years go on, I'm definitely going to try to join my varsity high school team because they don't have a junior varsity where I'm going. But I'm going to try out for varsity. If I don't make it, I'm going to try to be at least part of the team. Just, like, part of, like, the...
Yeah, like the coach.
Yeah. You know, okay.
You know more
okay.
than most of these coaches.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. All right, young man. We've got to turn the mic over to Pops.
All right.
You're stealing all of his airtime and his glory, but he I know how I am. I revel in it, seeing my sons achieve and succeed. And there's not any doubt in my mind that you are going to be a success. And I'm going to say, I knew him when. All right, that's Buster DeLay.
Thank you.
And he's going to come up with the new podcast that we're going to be behind 100%, the Rowdy's Rundown and World Soccer Report. And we're going to have a little high school insertion there because
yes.
right here, St. Pete Sports Connection, that's some of the things we're going to talk about is the high school world around here because it's near and dear to everybody's heart and it doesn't get the pub that it deserves. Now let's give a guy that does deserve the pub. He's been doing it for quite some time. And that's Burning Rubber Radio, Andy. Don't say he ever delays, my man.
Yeah.
What's up, brother?
Hey, nothing much. That's a hard act to follow up on.
Oh, my God.
It's not that I'm biased or anything.
You don't have to be biased. Anybody listening, break it down for us. I thought he was going to say, well, they scored in the first period, scored in the second. They went to a, whatever they call it, shoot down, shoot off. And next thing we know, I know some new names to throw at my son and brag about my knowledge of soccer, which I stole from a 14-year-old.
Oh, yeah. I was sitting over here. I'm like, wow. I know he knows a lot about soccer, but my Lord, he knows. You said a replay? That's what that was.
It was amazing.
It was awesome. Anyway,
too bad you don't have any retention.
Yeah,
Where's your notes at? You got the notes. I know you were cheating down there. That was amazing. All right. Well, try to come up with something that's NASCAR related, and maybe you can remember a few names for me.
Oh, yeah. Well,
what's going on right now?
Well, the big thing is, I want to blow the trumpet here on Burning Rubber Radio a little bit. And here on RadioSaintPete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM, we had Dale Jr. on last week.
I was in Colorado. It's archived, though, right?
Yeah, it's archived. Actually, last 2 weeks. We had Dale Jr. on. That was really awesome. Of course, we have his nephew, Bobby Dale Earnhardt.
Yeah, you kind of helped represent him.
Yeah, right now, hopefully, we found him a ride. I don't know. Bobby Dale, I hope I didn't jinx you, buddy. But
it didn't. Jinxing doesn't exist.
But, yeah, anyway, it's been fun. I'm so happy that RadioSaintPete.com is my home base. I mean, we're on NASCAR Digital Media. We're Speed Sport Podcast Network, all that stuff. But RadioSaintPete.com is home.
Exactly, and that's how I look at it as we look at expanding our world. And we're going to dramatically. But if it wasn't for... Oh, nice work, Mike.
I heard that.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I just want to make certain that I didn't just kick us off the air. I don't think I did. So, go back to where we were at.
All right. Yeah, we had Dale Jr. on. This past week, Riley Herbst, that you just heard if you listened in from the 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock hour here on RadioSaintPete.com. And then next week, we're going to have upcoming Natalie Decker. On, she's the big phenom, the newest female phenom.
Oh, is she the new Danica Patrick?
Yeah.
Hopefully she's nicer.
Oh, she's younger, a lot younger. But, you know, and folks out there going, no, Haley Deegan. I agree, Haley Deegan is the next big thing. But right now, Natalie Decker.
Where's she from?
Natalie?
Yeah.
North Carolina.
Okay. Imagine
that. Area. Yeah.
a race, someone in NASCAR racing from North Carolina, right?
Yeah, can you imagine that in Well, I know Natalie Decker, her dad is Haley Deegan. Her dad is Brian Deegan, of course, big X game competitor. And most folks that are up and coming in Buster's generation have probably heard of her dad. So this is pretty neat.
Is he a skateboarder?
Yeah, skateboarder and
I've
BMX
heard of
and stuff like that. Yep. You know, really the X Game stuff you were talking about.
So you had Dale Earnhardt Jr. on.
Yeah, that was great. I couldn't believe it, you know. It was so cool. I actually took a picture of the Discord that we were all in talking to him.
Don't worry, we're up and running.
Oh, okay. It's all right.
I was gone for 2 weeks, and I left this thing. It's got all the, you know, you get all these updates.
Oh, yeah, your computer. Yeah.
And it's just kicking them on. Thank you. The time is perfect, guys.
Yeah, no problem.
Technology.
You know.
But, hey, we're still rolling. So how did you get that lined up?
Well, the big thing that happened to us about, I guess it's been about 3 or 4 months now. And my shout-out goes to our producer, Wayne Owens, that you all hear on the show, is he got close to those folks, Ralph Shaheen. You may have heard that name, big announcer.
Yeah.
He owns Speed Sport. And all of a sudden, he decided to take us under his wing and put us on his podcast network. NASCAR heard about it, and all of a sudden, we're featured on NASCAR Digital Media on their .com.
That's
all of a sudden.
See how I'm a bandwagon rider? Now I'm warming up to Andy DeLand and his son Bus. Hey, guys, can I get on the ride?
Oh, yeah. You got RadioSaintPete.com on.
Yeah.
So anyway, all of a sudden, these names and this and that, and, you know, of course, Bobby Dale Earnhardt's uncle's Dale Jr.
Yeah, exactly.
And before,
wasn't there a family rift there, though?
Yeah, there was. There's all kinds of family drama and that kind
but
of stuff.
But those two okay now?
Oh, Dale and Bobby are just fine.
Oh, perfect.
So all of a sudden, he picks up the phone and goes, hey, Junior, you want to be on my show? Okay. And when he said that, you know, I had to call an ambulance for me and resuscitate me.
And get the paddles out.
Oh, my Lord. Now we're going to line up his dad, Carrie Earnhardt, and we've got Kelly Earnhardt, Dale's sister, in the lineup.
Oh, cool.
Now.
Hey, when you get these lined up, get them to me so I can put it on my social media, too.
Sure, thanks.
My social media is blown up, and if I put that picture of a Dale Earnhardt, your picture, sorry, pal. I don't even put mine up anymore. Anyway, that'd be through the roof.
Oh, it broke my social media with Dale Jr. up there. All
oh, my
the
gosh.
The counter broke and fell off.
Unbelievable. Yeah. At least after you telling everybody. I don't know. It broke.
Yeah, I was looking at it and said, this has got to be a lie. These numbers cannot be true.
When you bring someone like that to the table, that's the biggest interview you ever did?
Oh, yeah, the biggest name I've ever had. Well, you know, we've had...
He's probably a great interview, too, because he was excellent on television.
Yeah, if you listen to it here on Radio St.
I'm going to listen to it this weekend.
You, there was two shows worth. He was with us. He didn't get off for over an hour, so we had to split up the interview.
Were
and
you
he
in a
talked
studio?
About depression.
At home?
Excuse me?
You do this from your house, right?
Yeah, we do this from my four co-hosts, something like that. Anyway, they're all over the place, you know, and we get together in what's called Discord, if you've ever heard of that. It's a big, the way that the gamers and everyone talk, and it's basically a studio. And Dale Jr. joined us in our Discord. And, of course, it's studio quality. It's just like the quality that we're doing.
That's what
here.
I got. I'm setting it up where they can call in. I can call them or they can call in to this mixer. I'm doing that this week.
Yes.
But this sounds like something I should do because I've got multiple people across the country like you just did.
It's exactly what we do.
And it sounds studio quality.
Yeah, it's studio quality. That's what
cool.
we do Burning Rubber Radio on. So
cool.
And we've done it for years. We started off on Skype back in the
days. Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And back in 2008, and then, of course, it's gone to Discord, and that's where we are, our virtual studio, we call it, and that's how lots of shows are recorded nowadays.
Oh, yeah, very cool. So in your interview with Junior, what was one thing that really came out to you that you were unaware of that was kind of cool in the conversation?
Depression.
Really?
He talked about depression. I did not know that Dale suffered from that. And his, of course, he talked about that combined with his concussion problems that he's had in the past. That put
him
out of
the car. We talk about CTE and other sports, but
yeah,
CTE probably in racing is big too, and sounds like it.
It's huge, especially before softballs and all of the safety measures they have now, like the Hans device, head and neck safety device. These, if you see the seats that they get in on the NASCAR program or Formula One, anything. They get into these cocoons now, and they wrap totally and all the way around, not only their chest, but their shoulders. They have things called halos that wrap all the way around
I've
their head.
I've seen that, yeah.
And that's why they have to have spotters up in the stands saying, hey, you got a guy on the outside of you, you got a guy on the inside.
Because they can't see.
No peripheral. Right. But
that would be kind of eerie, driving that fast and not having peripheral. At first, it probably was an issue, wasn't it?
Well, it was. And a lot's like Dale Sr. before he was killed. And the reason that he was killed was because he had none of these. He was in just an old-style racing seat. He had no head and neck restraint, and that's what happened. It broke his neck at the base of a skull, a basal skull fracture. All of these didn't exist. Soft walls, which are mandated in NASCAR now, didn't exist. When you hit the wall, you hit a concrete barrier at 200 miles an hour. Now you hit these walls that have styrofoam in them and everything that absorbs some of the impact. And no one, and I'm going to knock on wood, but nobody has been killed in NASCAR since Dale Sr. passed.
Is that a fact?
That's correct. All because of the...
What year was that? Like 96?
2001.
Was it?
Yeah, the Daytona 500, turn four.
Well, I remember that, but I didn't remember what year it was. So depression, is he all good now?
Yeah, Dale's great. Down to earth...
He was in a hell of a airplane.
He sure was.
Tell that story.
I guess it was last year or the year before. Guys, as you get
airplane
older...
Airplane accident.
Yeah, you start forgetting years. Years, you know, last week was 2 years ago.
Trust me.
And, well, he was going, I want to say, to Bristol. Anyway, he was in his private plane with his daughter and his wife.
Wow.
And I guess the pilot decided he was going to put the aircraft down. And if I'm wrong, folks, you can complain on Mike's
media. Yeah, yeah, SportsConnection.com. we take all corrections. Yeah, I edit, and I don't have to edit anything that comes out of Buster's mouth, not his father. I probably spent about an hour editing.
Yeah, of course.
I spent 2 hours editing my own pie hole. So anyway. So
they were, from what I understand, the pilot had a choice between going around because he was coming in on a long approach, and he was going to, but then he decided not to. When he did, he hit the ground hard enough to collapse the landing gear, and the jet slid all the way off the runway through a fence and almost onto the adjoining highway, four-lane highway nearby. And, we got someone here?
Oh, no, we got a few minutes. I brought this, Tim, just so you'd feel at home. I brought this, too. I'm
going
to have to swap visor and for hat.
So, and luckily he got out of that. Folks stopped their cars on the roadway and went out there and started pulling people out of the aircraft.
When I saw that, I don't know what it is. You know, you could go back to the Kennedy family. I thought, is this one of those families that are just destined for tragedy?
Yeah,
because
right.
He was that damn close to death.
Very.
He was that close to having a Kobe Bryant type ending.
Yes.
With his daughter and wife there.
Exactly. So,
man.
Thankfully, Dale was unhurt in the long run. His wife and his child were okay. And even the pilots walked away from the accident.
Is he still doing television?
He sure is.
He's good on television.
You know what's hilarious? If you know the Earnhardts like I know the Earnhardts, they are very quiet, introverted people, and so was Dale. And all of the classes and the broadcast schools and everything he's gone to has brought him out of his shell. And you can see that with Bobby Dale Earnhardt, no different. Very quiet, introverted. And the last 10 years he's been on the air with me, now I can't shut him up.
You created a monster, my man. We're talking to Andy DeLay. He's got a great show, Burning Rubber Radio. Well, you're on... NASCAR
Digital Media, Speed Sport Podcast Network, and most importantly, on RadioSaintPete.com here in my home of St. Petersburg, Florida.
It doesn't get any better than this. I got to ask you a question on the air that's personal. I go to the Clearwater Jazz Fest every year.
Okay.
Are they holding that over at Spectrum this year, the Philly Stadium? Are they still remodeling down there?
Hey, Buster, do you know? Ask him. He knows everything.
I thought you were in law enforcement.
I am, but I don't have anything to do with that plate. I really don't know.
I found out last night, I thought, because they're redoing down there by Coachman Park.
Yes, I heard they're putting all kinds of millions into that.
Well, maybe you want to drive around your neighborhood a little bit.
Yeah, maybe I should, right?
Okay. So anyway, hey, how's Jersey Bill doing?
Jersey Bill, he's doing really good, of course. I'm sure that I'm sure that he's mad because I didn't invite him over here.
Well, but I am, but you had him to take care of you. So
yeah, that's right. I had Buster. That's why, you know.
The missus doesn't let you out without somebody keeping an eye on you, does she?
You're right.
Hey, Bill, get over here. I think he's trying to escape by himself. Buster's gone today, and I'm definitely not going with him.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, that's kind of what it's like. Well, thanks anyway. I love being on the Sports Connection.
Well, we love having you on, and we're going to form a great alliance here. I'm so excited about your little project, the Rowdy's Rundown and World Soccer Report. This is going to be a memorable day when you launch your first one of your future, because your future is so bright, you got to wear shades, young man, and very impressive.
I sure hope Joe Berdow's listening to this.
Joe Berdow actually is in Michigan, but that guy's, no, I don't know where he's at. He's not back till Tuesday, but he takes the time. He's so committed to this, and we're all getting excited about the future, that he starts and stops the show for me.
I'll be darned.
He's smart enough to figure out by one of these contraptions. You and I'd be like, turn it off.
Yeah.
Hey, we're done.
Exactly.
How do we get this thing off?
Stop button.
Yeah. What do you mean? Anyway, all right, man. Well, I certainly look forward to our future, and we'll put a piece together. I'm going to create a printed piece, like I said, that'll have our entire lineup. We'll include your new project as well. We'll try to monetize a little bit. And have some fun with it.
Yeah, I hope some folks would like to jump on board and
tell them where they can go to listen to the Dale Earnhardt interviews, because that's epic.
Yeah, of course, you can check them all out on burningrubberradio.com. We have them archived up there.
I've got a link on stpetesportsconnection.com to your site, too.
Okay, great. Thank you. And, of course, you can go on NASCAR Digital Media. Just go to nascar.com. Go down there and look at their podcast, and they should be archived up there. But the easiest way is just listen to it on the burningrubberradio.com.
All right. Andy DeLay and Buster DeLay. Tell you what, this young man didn't delay with any information.
He
superb job, young man, and thank you for coming down on a Saturday and taking time.
Thank you. And I want to shout a couple people out that are watching. My grandparents, my boy Hershey, and my mom. Love you all.
Well, hope you all. You love Hershey, too?
Well, hold on. Wait.
There you go. You love your grandparents and your mom.
He's going to text me. He's going to say this. He's going to say, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Slow. All right. Hey, Hershey. He thinks you're cool. That's what he means.
That's what he meant.
Yeah. All right. Well, I love most of my pals, but, you know, that's just
That's
what guys do. All right. Thanks very much, my friend. Hit the off button there, and then I'm going to get my next guest, Tim Ramsberger. He's over here having a conversation with Ferg. And, of course, okay, perfect. Yeah, next week I've got Rock Riley. You've heard Rock in this marketplace. He's a legend. And somebody's phone's right here. Of course, his dad's. Your ADD, your age deficit disorder's kicking in. Anyway, next week we got Rock Riley. Rock has been on the airwaves for years, does a superb job. I'm looking forward to my opportunity to broadcast live with him. We got some very exciting news, as I mentioned, coming down the road regarding pickleball. That's all I can say about it right now. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and it's a pickleball announcement. I was told not to give any more information out, so we'll continue to tease you in the weeks to come. But looking forward to that as well. You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill right here at 13th and Central. Always something going on. 7:20 tonight, first pitch, Braves and Rays. And all 84 televisions will be tuned in to the Rays. Game and a half behind Boston right now in that always tough East. And don't think the Yankees are going away anytime soon. Toronto, still a challenge for that repeat that the Lightning already showed the way in Tampa Bay. So looking forward to the rest of the season. We're at the halfway mark. And then, of course, NFL right around the corner. As I said, next week it's Rock Riley. And I don't know what to think about these guys that are going to be invading my airwaves for a while next Saturday. It's the Hammerhead Union. And I'll let them describe it. I think it's just a bunch of guys that like to drink together. That's my assessment of it, that for the majority have New York accents, tough guys. I kind of off the cuff call them thugs. I don't think they're thugs, but You never know when you're dealing with Mets and Yankees fans, Giants, Jets. You know why? They've had some tough years. And they're pissed off because a lot of them are Islanders fans. And we know what the Lightning did. We won't rub that into them. I know maybe they're listening, a couple of them. But it will be we'll remind them quite often of that event that took place. Hey, by the way, Paradise Spa, you hear me talk about it all the time. Body Armor Transitional Massage Therapy over at Paradise Spa. It's currently offering an amazing special for new clients. That includes a 30-minute consultation. That's a $119 value. A 30-minute consultation, as I said, $119 value, with a 30-minute bat therapy session. And that's a $92 value for only $99. And I assure you, Paradise Spa is jammed, packed right now. It has been. Corey, the owner, has done a superb job. My girlfriend, Terry, does facials over there. And I met Dan Nicola, and he's done a superb job. During the consultation, he'll break down your body armor, how it's created. He explained it to me, and if I can interpret it, so can you. And it really has affected my life from a neurological perspective. And my sister, who I just saw last week in the Black Hills, he just did superb work for her. So anyway, he breaks it down for you and gives you an opportunity to enjoy life where you can be comfortable again and pain-free. Yeah, so just go to battherapy.com. That is, the phone number is 727-360-4300. That's Paradise Spa. It's a full spectrum spa. It's over 107th and Treasure Island, my neck of the woods, Treasure Island over there, and does a great job. And then, as I mentioned, Rock Riley next week. On the 31st, we'll be on the road. We're going to be up at the Boys and Girls Club up in Pinellas Park. And that's the remodeled. The Bucks have contributed a lot of money there. But we're going to be up there with Florida Rising Stars, Wayne Hogan, and Brandy Winans, my good friend. We'll be up there doing live, talking to the kids, talking to people that are making a difference in kids' lives, which is what the St. Pete Sports Connection is all about. And as I mentioned, last 2 weeks I was gone. Took a nice little trip. Tell you what, it makes you appreciate living in the 21st century and living in America. I get on a flight in Tampa on the 3rd, Saturday morning, fly to Denver, 3.5-hour flight. 2 hours later, I'm up in the mountains, Evergreen, where I used to hang out and having a great time. The next day, I'm at Coors Field watching the Rockies and the Cardinals with my son. And then the day after, we head to the Black Hills. And don't steal my guess completely, Ferg. Anyway, he's kind enough to join me right now. And as I said, my unofficial producer of this show is Barry Smith. If it wasn't for Barry, Ernest Hemingway look-alike, I would not have the opportunity to get guys of this caliber on. And I've been blessed for the last, 7 months that I've been doing this down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Did it for 20 years up north, and they just kind of plugged me into their community, and I've been very, very fortunate. And to get Tim on the show is another one of those guys who's been making a big difference in the community for, he grew up here. He's a Boca Ciega Pirate, former FSU Seminole, and went to law school there, undergrad. I won't give any more details that I've got about you, but thanks for joining me on the St. Pete Sports Connection. Hit the ON button there.
I thought it was no. I had it upside down.
I'm not going to tell you no to come down here, man. I appreciate you coming down and joining me.
Good to see you. Thanks so much for having me on.
So you and Ferg are getting caught up there a little bit, huh?
Yeah, Ferg and I go way back. Was
retired
a baseball coach.
Teacher. Mm-hmm. Every child left behind. That's Ferg's teacher today. That's appropriate. But I assure you, if you come down to Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, he's not going to leave you behind if you're putting a dollar on that bar.
You know, his name backwards is Grief, so that's...
Okay, you know a lot about him. So, you know, he plays basketball religiously. And they've got this group of guys. We ever met Jim Sweeney and that whole gang of guys? So I had them on one of the first shows. The entire group that they play ball together came down because Jim had a heart issue.
Yeah.
And I had him and his wife, Maura, on. And the gang of guys showed up, really cool cats. And so they're giving me inside information. It's even in Sweeney's book. They said, you know what? Getting Ferged is? I go, no, I've been hanging out with him for 5 years since I moved here. He goes, he's the dirtiest player in basketball on the court to this day at 60-some years old. Oh, yeah, you going in. Ferg's taking you out. So everybody calls
it. Hey, he refers to that as a competitive advantage
precisely.
Or something like that. Yeah.
Hey, dude, you just Ferged me. And Jake's son didn't even know that, so I had to share that information with Jake.
Very funny.
So anyway, thanks for joining me. Now, I just had Andy DeLay from Burning Rubber Radio, and I forgot to mention, he's having a bite here, that how instrumental you were in the Firestone St. Pete Grand Prix.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's impressive, man.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was interesting. I was here, and I got hired back in 2003, believe it or not, by Dover Motorsports, owned the race at the time. And Dover owned both St. Pete, Denver, and Long Beach. So I was actually an employee of the Grand Prix Association of Long Beach, which is the granddaddy of them all.
That's it.
Yeah, and Jim McAlean and Dwight Tanaka and those guys out in Long Beach, they came and designed the course and put it together. And so when I got hired by them, the 04 race went dark because CART filed bankruptcy. And so it had a wild beginning for me.
You overcame that.
And then I had shut down my law practice. I had gotten hired in May, and by November, CART was in bankruptcy, and Dover Motorsports said, you know, we're just going to fold up. And I'm like, what's next?
That's a nice run, huh?
Yeah, so I joined Champ Car, the surviving entity of CART, and I put on races in Denver and
I probably
Las
was in
Vegas
Denver.
And Cleveland and Portland and with the hopes
of... Were you downtown Denver?
Oh, we were right by the Pepsi. We went around the Pepsi Center.
Oh, did you? Yeah. I was just there last week.
Yep. So the Pepsi Center was our event control and all that. So
really?
And then eventually that summer is when IndyCar said, hey, maybe we will, because at that point Champ Car decided not to run St. Pete, but all the race assets, the walls and the fence were all here. So I ended up getting hired by Barry Green, who had partnered with Michael Andretti at the time.
Wow.
And so I got
hired
by...
There's some power brokers.
Yeah, Andretti Green in September of 2004. So I took a long way to get eventually back to the St. Pete race, but I did eventually. And so the 2005 race as the Honda Grand Prix was my first time out here. And then I went through 2014, and at that time I jumped out and rejoined Michael Andretti at Andretti Sports Marketing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and I put on a race in New Orleans, IndyCar race at Avondale Park, and it was a cool race. We had a little bit of trouble with the weather and some things, and financially it was didn't do so well for these local investors. And so we're also doing Global Rallycross at the time. Michael had a two-car team with Volkswagen, and so we were putting on Global Rallycross races in, again, Seattle, West Coast, L.A., Daytona Beach. And so yeah, a lot of fun with Michael.
Okay, so growing up, I did a little homework. So your father was a football coach at several schools. Were you guys racing fans at all?
Not at all.
Yeah, so no.
Closest thing was my dad went to Notre Dame, right? So South Bend,
that's
Indiana.
Why I wanted to have a conversation.
So, yeah, the fact that he was
I'm
Indiana.
I'm diehard Notre Dame. My uncle went there. My daughter had a full ride to go there, and she goes to DePaul on me.
Oh, wow.
Catholic school.
So there's a coach there by the name of Frank Leahy.
Yeah.
My father played for Frank Leahy.
No kidding.
He was a class of 50.
Oh,
so
my
he was
gosh.
46. He was a war vet. Never lost a game in 4 years. Tied twice. Played with two Heisman Trophy winners, Jack Lujack and Leon Hart. And
really?
Yeah.
Is your pop still around?
He's not. He passed away in 13. But, he was part of Leahy's lads. And
really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You probably know Mike Riley and his whole family.
He's my doctor.
Is he? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, his brother...
He knows me intimately.
His brother... Yeah, I bet he does. His brother TJ lives right across the street from me.
Yeah, sure.
So TJ comes over, you know, of course, wants to talk tennis.
Yeah.
And I try to get TJ on and talk tennis because I don't know diddly about
so
it.
So his sister Gina and I were of age, so we knew each other through high school.
All right, yeah. So when I first started helping Mark, I moved here in 2017.
Okay.
And he said... He knew my background. I had a company comparable to this and put a lot of things on. He said, hey, just give me a hand, will you? Ball games. Sure. I said, two things are going to happen. We're going to Iowa watch party and the Notre Dame watch party. So I got the Notre Dame watch party, but they are so in tuned into going to Tampa all the time for their events. It was a tough, but Mike stepped up to the plate and we had some good games. But you're down here battling the Gators, no offense, the Seminoles.
We're a softball school these days.
Sound like Barry.
Yeah,
what I said during football season last
basketball,
year, I go,
men's
I said,
basketball.
That Leonard Hamilton's a hell of a coach, isn't he?
Yeah,
I said, you guys are on the basketball bandwagon.
Yeah, basketball and women's softball. We're great.
Oh, yeah. I say that to Barry all the time, and he says, but, and this is reality. I've been blessed. I've had a, you probably know Chris, it's escaped me, right? It'll come right back. He's an attorney as well that went to FSU. Anyway, all these FSU guys have been on. Hunter Smith, you ever meet him? Hunter Smith was the trainer at FSU. They all come down, you know, and they're talking about the glory days. And I tell them all the time, I said, you know, this is the reality, even though I don't give two craps. Programs that are rich in tradition, they will be back. And you know that as
well
as I do.
It's just a matter of time.
Precisely.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the reality of it. Yeah. What years were you at Florida State?
So I got an undergraduate degree in 84 and my law degree in 87.
Okay. Chris Griffin's the guy's name.
Chris Griffin, okay. Yeah, it's funny. I tell people sometimes, I said, yeah, I spent 7 years at Florida State. And they're like, God, it took you 7 years to get through. And I'm like, yeah, but I got another degree.
Yeah, I like to tell the story. My stepdad was an attorney, and he told me a couple times. He said, you know, you'd be good as an attorney. Well, at 22, I bought a bar. I didn't know. He said, I'd like you to take the bar someday. I bought a bar. Until the day he died, he still have about that one.
Language is imprecise thing.
Yeah, precisely.
I thought you said.
Yeah, buy a bar. I did it. My mom wanted to kill me, but anyway. So then you you went north for about a decade to North Carolina?
No.
You never left?
No, I was in Orlando. So real quick, if you're interested. When I got out of law school, I went to Orlando and I practiced.
You never left the state there.
Harrison Robinson. Yep. And then I was lucky in to be part of the bid effort for the World Cup for Orlando. And then when, and this
really?
Was in 94.
We were just talking soccer. This little kid that was here is a genius. So we were talking soccer. Yeah.
So I was part of the World Cup in 94. I ran the Orlando venue with Farouk Qureshi. Farouk, a former Tampa Bay Rowdy, hired me. And
Barry's lining me up with Farouk on the air in September.
Well, he hired me to join them, and we put on the 84 World Cup in, 94 World Cup in Orlando, and then I went right to the Olympic Games for the 96 games in Atlanta.
Did you
Yep.
What'd you do? What was your role there?
So I had different roles. We were a part of the venue management team,
okay.
And you know, it was acquiring all the securing the venues that we needed. And then I had indoor volleyball at the old Omni, and I had beach volleyball. Then eventually, my second son was born, and I ended up going back into the soccer venues in Orlando and Miami.
Really?
So I oversaw those two venues. And then I left, and when the games were over, I went to Disney's Wild World of Sports. And so I helped open the Wild World of Sports complex at Disney in 97 and stayed there until 2000 when I came back here to St. Pete.
When you helped open that up, is that when the AAU moved their headquarters down there?
Exactly.
I had a company. Yeah. I was this close. Des Moines, Iowa, we had the Junior Olympics.
Yeah.
And I had created this technology, which is archaic now, where we could update through phone. Every sport got a box. And I sat at Drake University and updated every night, every division and everything that took place, working hand-in-hand. They were in Indianapolis then, the AAU.
Yep.
And they, the people from Disney were there tracking everything, and they said, we'd love to have this technology down on Orlando. We want you to move. And my kids were young, and I had just gotten divorced. I didn't want to leave them. And I flew down there. I was so jacked. I thought, this is the break. You know, small entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I never pursued it. But I took the kids down there later to remind them.
Yeah, yeah.
The old man could have been here. Then I got you three.
I tell you, the World Cup.
That was cool.
It was it's still the high water mark professionally and personally for it because it was just so fun.
Oh, my God, yes.
But I will tell you, the Disney experience was great from the standpoint of they actually paid, and I went and got my MBA degree while I was there, too. Which was a nice little thing to be at Disney and get an MBA degree. But the Wild World of Sports complex that was built there, I mean, how many companies in this country can do what they did over there and continue to grow it? And it's just, phenomenal. And I worked with Reggie Williams, who was a former linebacker for the Bengals, and Mike Millay. Mike Millay and I stay friends to this day, and we actually are business associates.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, when that took place, I thought, because I was so immersed in youth sports, I was the focus of my company. And my kids were doing things all the time. I thought, what a brilliant concept.
Yeah.
Because my daughter was not into sports.
Yeah.
And she's on law now, too, in Chicago. But she sure likes Disney.
Yeah.
So when the boys went down there for a tournament and mom gets to come, the perfect plan.
Yeah.
We're not traveling all over the country watching junior play, you know, basketball, baseball, whatever the particular sport is. We're having a family vacation. And by the way, he'll be over here playing, and we'll be at the park.
Yeah, and,
brilliant.
Know, it was really the first sports commission to exist, because even though we weren't a commission per se, you know, we were the model for what sports commissions have become. And what's interesting about that economic model is that it's all built around hotel room nights. When you come here in St.
Exactly, the economic impact, which is what you're into now.
It is, and it wasn't that way at Disney to begin. It wasn't about hotel room nights; it's about theme park tickets. We could
that was your tracking number.
We put 90% of our rooms were off site, and then all of a sudden we realized, you know what, we're losing business. So they built All Star Movies, and they built those.
I stayed in
affordable,
them.
Affordable, right?
They
that
were
was the problem. So again, the whole model was built around theme park tickets. So, anyways, great learning experience being at Disney. A great thing to go through the culture. Yeah, so good experience. And then when I came back here, I practiced law a little bit, and then I got a call from Dover, and so, yeah.
So 10 years, and you essentially made it very sustainable, obviously.
I think they're still running my playbook. So yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'll tell you what, bravo, the success of it. Yeah. And I last year had these guys, they were down there covering doing their show live, Burning Rubber Radio. They came up, and then I met the group that gets here early. It came in from Indianapolis,
mm-hmm.
and came to Ferguson Eaton. I was doing some work down here on a Friday, and I sat and visited with them. And they're the guys that, and you were probably a part of this in the early days, they get to a location like Denver, and they're there for 30 days getting everything organized. So I sat right at that table, and they told me some stories. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, you're vagabonds, but it's cool.
It is, and it's kind of interesting. You know, I knew a lot of people from my Olympic days and World Cup days that still continue on that nomadic lifestyle, that they went on to Australia, did the games in Sydney, they've gone on to London, they've gone over in Tokyo.
How cool is that? If you want to travel.
Exactly.
If you're a young person, it's perfect.
Yeah, and if you don't mind being nomadic. And so I kind of decided now I didn't want to chase that, but I know a lot of people that have done it and had great fun.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so was it hard taking the you're the CEO of St. Pete Clearwater, you know, sports and events, and was it tough leaving your baby, the
Grand Prix? There was parts of it. Well, again, I jumped out with Michael.
But you still work close with them, don't you, in some capacity?
We have in the past. I tell you one thing that we've got coming up, just to pivot a second here, that you may want to put – we may want to get back on your show with the people.
Anytime.
The Powerboat P1 is going to run. The offshore boat's going to run off the pier.
You give me anything, and we'll promote it from here.
Thank you. They're running off the pier.
I don't
know.
I've been here
weekend.
Hanging out with him for 5 years. I still haven't gotten a card. I already.
Oh, pickleball's
huge. I can't say too much about it. Billy warned me this morning. Oh, perfect. Yeah, we'll talk about it off air.
So the offshore boats, P1, these are the big 1,100 horsepower offshore boats are going to be running off the pier here Labor Day weekend.
Really?
Yeah, you haven't heard about it much. They're getting ready to ramp up the promotion. They've been running off St. Pete Beach the last 3 years. They were behind the Don Cesar last year.
Yeah, I saw them at Don Cesar because I live down. You live in Treasure Island. I live on Sunset Beach.
There you go. So these boats, we talked to them about moving it downtown to the new pier. And so Labor Day weekend, they'll also have the Aquacross, the jet skis. They'll have about 60, 65 jet ski racers. And these things are jacked up. They're about 350 horsepower jet skis. We have a couple of boats that are branded, or one boat that's branded, one jet ski. And it'll be at Spa Beach. They'll run off the pier, and they'll also be in Benoit Park on Labor Day weekend. So
why don't I do my show live from there?
Let's do it.
On that Saturday.
Let's do it.
In fact, I'll talk. You've probably met Joe Berdow.
Joe.
Yeah, so Joe's traveling today, and I just keep loading this up with. Yep. I told you we're going to make that pickleball announcement, but we'll load up the whole afternoon.
We want to be a part of that.
We'll go 4 hours,
uh-huh.
and we'll set up down on the pier somewhere. The only thing I got to make certain is the Wi-Fi. Capabilities on there, but we'll get that figured out.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Let's do that. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll get you on the air before, several times. You just want to come down and grab a bite to eat?
That'd be great.
And we'll shoot the bowl and see where direction we can head.
Be here in what, 7 weeks? So yeah, 7 weeks from today.
And I'll put it on my website, stsportsconnection.com. I'll put a link to you guys if you just send me that information.
Yeah.
I just launched that about 7 months ago, and our social media number astounding me, actually.
So we have the super boats off of Clearwater every September.
You're still having those?
Same. That event's still going to happen. There's a bit of crossover. Offshore racing is a pretty splintered organizational thing. There's three different sanctioning bodies at this point. Kind of reminds me of my open wheel days when we had IndyCar, we had Champ Car, and then we had Unification.
And now they got trucks.
Yeah, now they got trucks.
Yeah, that's yeah. What Andy yeah, was
Robbie
telling me.
Gordon. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he said it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So the pickleball event, though, is something that I think we need to get behind. So
we'll put that together. I talked to Billy this morning, okay. And I sent him a text, and you probably met Billy many times. So I sent him a text. I said, yeah, I'll do the whole promo starting this morning. Whoa. So all I can tell you is we've got some exciting news coming, and it's related to pickleball.
Okay.
And I'm astounded. There's 5 million people playing pickleball right now. I'm almost 65. I thought it was just for dinosaurs that can't move, right? Now,
it's competitive.
Well, competitive, and it's also filtering down to the youth, and I think that's great. From the perspective, you know, tennis, golf, they get labeled, you know, an elite of sports.
Yeah.
This, we can just get kid a couple paddles, boom, and
I hear Ferg's one of the dirtier players out in pickleball.
He probably Ferg people in
yeah,
pickleball.
Yeah, there you go.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying. Oh, Mark, you got to love him. All right, so the thing that I thought was pretty cool, looking at your bio, is you've got an incredible resume
of
accomplishments.
I can't seem to hold down a job. Right?
Yeah. You're a job hopper.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you got that, and then your lifestyle, the things you love, you're like a beach bum.
Oh, I'm always on the water.
Yeah, you're a beach bum, man.
Right now it's a little difficult.
You got this polished resume, and you ask him what he loves to do, and everything's out on the water. He's a beach bum.
I kind of feel like that Buffett song. It's like surf, fly, and sail.
Yeah.
I do all three of those, so that's my those are my passions.
Well, I moved here. I planned it out for years. I always lived on water. I'm from Iowa, and I had a place on the lake. But my mom moved to Treasure Island in 99, and I always brought the kids down here. And I wondered, but I said, the old man's going to, that's what I'm going to call her quits at, you know. That'd be my last hurrah. He'll never move. So I just, 2017, didn't have a clue what I was going to do. Had some, you know, had some repairs, you know, being a divorced guy, and everything worked out, you know, from all parties considered. But I run into Mark, who I had met in 2001 or 2. I came down here with my boys, and the old man was still alive, and sitting out at a picnic bench. We're going to go over to see the Devil Race.
Yeah.
And we chatted it up, and I remembered his name. And so I was driving down Central that was here. It was March Madness. I thought, well, damn, that's Ferg's. And came in, shot the bowl with him, and right there on the spot, I showed him my magazines and whatever I did. And he goes, well, you're coming to work for me while you look for something, you know, real. And I've been hanging out with him ever since.
Do you ever go to inside the press box at the Rays games?
I have been invited many times, but I have not yet.
If you ever do, I'm bragging a bit here, but there's a plaque on the wall there for my father. He ran the press box for the Rays.
Really?
For the first 10 years.
My buddy. Because
he retired.
Really? What
was
your
dad's
name? Of course,
Vince Amoli found out who my dad, you know, that he was interested in coming down there and being a Golden Domer. I mean, I was just.
Vince was a Golden Domer?
Oh, yeah.
What's your pop's first name?
Jerry Ramsberger. Yeah, Vince has a. He donated enough money to get a building named after him up in South Bend.
You know what? My girlfriend knew your dad's name. She graduated from Bogey.
Okay.
83, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's well known in the area. But I didn't know that what you call it was a domer, too. You know, I knew that, you know, the San Francisco Giants owners, you know, they've got a building up there.
Yeah.
What is it? The
Bartolos?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, they've got a building up there, and he had the building up there.
It's a huge endowment up there. Yeah, they got a lot of.
Wow. You know what? I tell people, I don't care. There's a lot of Notre Dame haters. But I tell people, I don't care. If you are a venue or a sports fan, your bucket list. I used to work for the Cubs. Wrigley Field.
Oh, go to a game at South Bend.
South Bend. I'm a Packer fan, but Lambeau. Yeah. Of course, I say the old Yankee Stadium, but Fenway.
Yeah.
Go to Augusta.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the great venues, but you got to go to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
walking around the stadium.
So on the other side of Touchdown Jesus is where they used to have what was called Vetville.
Oh, yeah.
That's the housing for all the war vets that came back, including my dad. So my dad got married when he returned from the war. And so they lived there. And so all the people that lived in Vetville, there's a plaque. And so there's a plaque with my parents' name. And so I got to take my two sons up there for a game.
How cool is that?
And we went back there and saw that, and it was just, you know.
Gives you goosebumps if you're a Notre Dame fan.
Oh, it does. But what was great is that we saw him play Boston College. Matt Ryan was the quarterback.
Great Catholic rivalry.
Yeah, and leaving the stadium, one of the greatest shirts I ever saw was a BC shirt that said, God loves us more.
That was the argument that my friends, that, you know, whether FSU, Iowa, whatever. Oh, what do you Catholics think? You know, God loves your team more. I said, just depends on how many Hail Marys you say and Our Fathers and how many signs of the cross, dude. And I said, we're rampant about that right before kickoff.
Yeah.
But great tradition.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about
I'm glad to see you're flying the flag here with the Hall of Fame, so thank you for wearing that.
Well, Barry would pound me in the ground.
Yeah, Barry, we've had a good run here of late. We know we're re-emerging. Sure. You know, obviously, we got hit by COVID like everybody else.
First of all, let me back up.
Sure.
You are now the president of the Florida Sports Hall of Fame.
President and chair, yep.
Correct. Okay.
Chair of the board. Mm-hmm.
And that's Barry's, that's his baby. He loves that thing, man.
Well, he resurrected it from the ashes.
Precisely.
I mean, it was going to go under, and he's done a great job. You know, he's a great, passionate guy. Gets a lot of people excited about, you know, getting involved. And we've tried to, over the past couple of years, get a couple of keystone events, you know, like a golf tournament and our induction. And let me say hello to Newt here.
Hey, you can do, this is live radio, you can do anything you want.
You can streak?
Well, Newt, you might want to ask her that first. He said, can you streak? We don't have cameras.
That may not get him elected. It may get him arrested, but not elected. But so,
well, you get a lot of hits on your social media, then they know you're running for mayor.
I think they know that he's running.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Good to see you, Newt.
Well, good luck. Good luck in the election.
Yeah, so Barry has actually, you know, got me involved a few years ago, and as with Business Safety Clearwater, we got behind the Bobby Bowden Dynasty film that was premiered
really cool.
at the Mahaffey Theater, which was great, and we've been behind the program for like 4 years now. So we just had our annual golf tournament 3 weeks ago in Port St. Lucie.
And have you moved your headquarters now?
Well, the museum, the memorabilia there.
Yep.
We have one of our chair-elect, Rick Hatcher, who runs the sports commission down there, the Treasure Coast. Rick is a Florida State guy, played baseball there.
Is that one of the prerequisites to hang out with Barry?
I think so.
I think for the most part.
Well, you know,
I met some cool cats.
He likes to be around quality people, so. Yeah. So, Ferg.
Well, Ferg's Florida State, too,
yeah,
so.
Hatcher got us a space down there with the Mid-Florida Event Center, and so we relocated. We had that ribbon cutting back in March. It's a cool place if you ever get a chance to go over there and take a look at it.
Well, Barry and I are going to take a trip down there, and I'll talk to you off air, but I would like to come down there for your Hall of Fame induction.
Yes.
I'll set up, and then we'll do interviews with guys,
yeah.
And then I'll archive them. And give you the clips to put on your website.
Perfect.
And I'll do that just for a beverage and maybe a sandwich or something.
So we didn't get it. That'd be awesome. And we didn't get a chance, obviously, with the pandemic last year. Our 2020 class, we've delayed it. So this fall, we're looking at inducting our 2020 class.
And who's the 2020 class?
Oh, off the top of my head, you're going to challenge me here. I didn't bring notes. We got Pat Riley. We got Alonzo Mourning. We have Alex Rodriguez, a golfer by the name of Tiger.
Eldridge Woods.
Yes.
Related to Tiger.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, okay. You Dan Beesbrook from the Panthers.
Yeah.
Dana Torres, Olympic swimmer.
You know, one of the glaring things about coming from Iowa, and I love my home state, and I just did on my social media. It's just blowing up because of this factor. In 11 days, I posted Pete Alonso's accomplishment. I was out there and just destroying him in the Home Run Derby. The two young sprinters from Hillsborough High and Gibbs. The sisters from Bradenton that are number one ranked in the world in golf. And
Cordas. Yeah.
Yeah, the Corda girls. And they're going to be in the Olympics. That's what I tell people, within a 30-mile radius. I posted that, Tim, and I'm telling you, it was three separate. And like I said, I just got into the social media thing. If I got a couple thousand, you know, views, I was, you know, 28,000 views with those images and just my statement of good luck and people participating. So now I understand. No more pictures of my mug. No more Ferg's pictures. And there's so many athletes that you can focus on.
Yep, yep.
The difference in Iowa, of course, we're only 3.5 million, but anywhere you look, look at this Hall of Fame induction crew you're putting in.
Class. So we have through
That's the world famous.
Yeah, the strategy has been over the last few years is to make it centric to the location in the state that we're going to. It helps, obviously, from a business
regional perspective. Yeah,
regional perspective. Not that we can't induct somebody who's somewhere else. Like, for example, we had Gary Sheffield. We were up in Pensacola 3 years ago. So it's supposed to rotate back here to the Bay Area next. And so we'll have something to talk about at some point. But we have to get our induction this fall. We have sort of skipped over the 21 class because, again, we're just looking at doing the 20 class this year. And then so we'll have something to talk about down the road. For a 22 class,
gotcha.
which should be here back in the Bay Area. One of the best induction dinners we ever had was in Tampa a few years ago. We had Johnny Damon, Gruden. We had Phil Esposito. Phil Esposito had him on the floor.
If you got Phil Esposito, you could film that and just send it to the Comedy Channel, too.
Oh, you know, when he was talking about going over to Japan to try to raise funds, and he was meeting with all the people over there, and every time he said the word hockey, they all thought he was saying sake. He goes, I used to get so drunk over there just by every time I said the word hockey, I had to drink.
I am not a student. We got plenty of time. Well, I hope you do. Till the top of the hour. But I'm not a big Lightning. I wasn't a hockey guy.
Yeah.
But now I've got the fever, you know, and I listened to the broadcast. I was listening to radio. He cracks me up. He's like he's coaching.
Yeah.
And he's like, ah, oh, why'd you do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the guy trying to do the play-by-play.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Phil's just creaming. I'm like, and they're kicking butt. And he's still, yeah. Oh, my God, why would you do that?
Yeah.
He's a class.
Yeah.
And I met him actually over at St. Pete Country Club one time. And he loves to hit the sticks.
Yeah.
But great guy.
A lot of hockey players, too. We have Andrew Chuck in the hall. Dave,
really?
the captain
yeah.
of the first cup, and we got a chance to play together 3 years ago over at Reunion on our Hall of Fame tournament. He hits the ball a long way.
But not straight. Any hockey
well, he hits
hockey,
the ball a long way.
Hockey guys typically spray it, but they can just crush it.
Yeah.
Like baseball players.
Big hitter.
Yeah, they get
big
out there hitter. And they're crushing it, and you're like, hold it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. But
and I just old man golf. Just
Meet
Johnny Green.
I just left in Isla del Sol. That's where
did
you?
Yeah,
got my round in this morning.
Well, I think it's a prerequisite, and I'm launching. I had a golf show in Iowa for 20 years, and I'm launching it now here on the tee.
Okay.
Two pros and a hack.
Oh, nice.
Well, you're looking at the hack.
Okay.
And it's a mixture. I've got relationships with Golf Channel, Golf Week, doesn't matter. But everything's at the humor's at my expense.
Yeah, yeah.
But Barry, and I haven't played like a handful of times since I moved here. So I got the sticks out. My son played college golf. He's going, Pops, you live in Florida now. Get it together. So I'm down to St. Pete to their driving range, country club, hitting balls, trying to get her back in check. I don't want to go out and embarrass myself the first time I'm with Barry and the gang. He said, don't worry about it. I'll take your money anyway. I heard that you're not real accurate at scoring, too, Barry. I had several people tell me that.
Yeah, he's got creative math going.
Yeah, next topic. It's kind of like Ferg. They say Ferg has got creative scoring capabilities,
dirtiest
too.
Dirtiest golfer you ever want to be around, by the way.
Who? Barry?
Ferg.
Ferg?
No, he's dirty at basketball. He's dirty at pickleball.
Well, he can't play golf.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, you're inaccurate.
Not kidding.
Yeah, I know you are. But the basketball, you're not.
But golf, you know, we obviously the Valspar here. We got the PGA, which is great for us. We've had Spieth as winners. We had Mickelson here last year. You know, we have Tiger here a few years ago. Great. And we got the LPGA at Pelican in Bel Air. I mean, we got Lombardi that lives here in Tampa Bay. We got Stanley Cup that lives here.
There's a reason why they call it Champa Bay.
Champa Bay.
And, you know, I know J.P. Peterson. I respect him. I listen to him all the time. He does a superb job. But I am going to get media credentials at all of those events.
Yeah.
And if there's anything that you want, I don't care the significant size, whether it's high school, college, anything you guys are doing, keep me in your wheelhouse. And I'll more than
absolutely.
That's the stuff I did because we covered everything. And, and my theme was from the peewees, the preps, to the pros. And I'll gladly do anything that can support activity in the area.
Yeah, let me tell you, Mike, too, just pivoting over to what we do at St. Pete Clearwater Sports and Events, the local sports commission here in Pinellas County. We obviously are focused on amateur sports programming for the most part and bringing in events, whether it be pickleball for adults or AAU soccer. And so we have a really robust incentive program that we try to attract here. And just like my days at Disney, it's not a difficult destination to sell.
Oh, you know? My gosh.
It's, you know, and we used to
paradise.
I hate to tell you, but we used to always use Des Moines as sort of that.
Hey.
But we were at Disney. We're like,
use Omaha,
dude. Do you want to go to Des Moines, Iowa, or do you want to come
use
down here?
Omaha.
Okay, we'll use Omaha.
Change it up. Okay. Des Moines actually is thriving. It's amazing.
It's not Des Moines, right?
It's not Des Moines.
It's like it's not St. Pete's.
No.
For the Canadians out there.
No, it's not St. Pete's. It's not Des Moines. And not everything was French. It is a French origin, but no, it's not Des Moines.
Yes.
Use Omaha. Come on.
Omaha.
Please. Okay. I'm loud and proud about Iowa.
All right.
And those are the Cornhuskers.
That's going to be a whole hard habit to break, but we'll give it our shot.
Omaha.
Yeah, okay, Omaha.
I don't want Mike coming after us.
Okay.
Yeah. But in reality, it's a thriving... metropolitan area.
Yeah.
You got Facebook went there.
Okay.
There's so much landmass. I used to tell this to my kids. I drive from Kansas City to Des Moines. I'd say, you know, I'll be long gone, but in your generation, places like Des Moines will start to thrive because they can expand from a landmass perspective.
Yeah, something we can't do here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And we got so many people coming here on a regular basis. I mean, just coming down Central Avenue here. It's
about,
crazy from when I was a kid.
How about this?
It's just,
I mean, I remember 2017. Mark had that place over in Orlando, and I would drive him over every Tuesday, and we'd come back, and we'd always go up 16th and then take a left and come back because he wanted to drive it. And he was giving me the projections of what's going to be here and there, and I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever, man. Look at this area. Unbelievable. Yeah. And I should be in the Chamber of Commerce. I'm from Iowa, but I don't want anybody from North. Stay home. It's horrible here.
Well, when people complain to me about all the traffic and look what you're doing, I said, no, we're in tourism. We invite them to come down but leave.
Precisely.
But, you know, you can't help it. People come down here and they fall in love, and so they want to move here. So
my mom was here. So I already had squatter's rights when she got here.
Gotcha.
And she got here before the explosion.
Yeah.
But I had my son come to Denver. I just left Denver, and that's a very vibrant town these days. State. I lived there in the 80s. It's just too crowded for me now.
Yeah.
But it's a younger people's environment, and it's very cool. And we went to Coors Field on the 4th of July, and great sports town. However, they came down, the kids are in their 30s. They came down in April, and they came, and they watched the show. And they're the young, you know, no kids couples. They came back to the beach that night. They go, how cool is it down there? I said, I told you. Probably 13 music venues in a 12-block stretch.
We had a lot to offer. Yeah.
For that generation.
When we sell the destination, you know, it's not a hard destination to sell because you start with the beach, and then it just gets better from there. We got museums.
And they'll work your way in, yeah.
47 breweries in Pinellas County.
Clearwater. I mean, you can go all the way to...
Yeah.
Clearwater, Dunedin, all the
great
way
events,
down.
Great sports. Yeah.
Okay, now let's go back and talk about the amateur event. Okay, like when ESPN had their college softball event, were you guys involved in that?
Oh, that's our event. Sure.
Oh, is it? Yeah, I want to be involved next year. That is cool.
We partnered with ESPN.
What field is that on?
It's
that complex.
It's Eddie C. Moore Complex up in Clearwater.
Yep.
And so Michelle Smith, our Olympian softball player who lives here in Treasure Island, two-time Olympian.
She lives in Treasure Island?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's a proprietor. Her and her wife have two properties there. They have some bungalows at Sunset, and then they just bought a couple of places. In fact, they have a place up in Madeira Beach as well.
Really?
And so they're in the tourism business. But Michelle, we got together, and she had her own tournament here. And, of course, she's a commentator for ESPN. And so we just triangulated the relationships, and I knew all the guys from my days at Disney. And so we said, you know, let's do this. And so we are the presenting sponsor. And obviously the City of Clearwater loves it. They're a good partner.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Us, City of Clearwater and ESPN, that's the Elite Invitational. Yeah.
I love that thing. I'd like to be there next year. Just set up and...
Oh, and obviously, you know, with the pandemic, it shut down. But we're already excited about this coming February because, you know, and we've talked to Lonnie Alameda from Florida State. You know, they haven't announced the final lineup, but... Again, you get the Florida States, Oklahoma's, LSU's.
Iowa came down a couple of years ago. Yes. I know. I went up.
It's the who's who of college softball.
Yeah.
And they love coming here in February, right? Get out of the cold, have a great time, and just get jazzed for the season.
I happened to be catching a flight from Iowa down here the last time, and I had two teams on my flight, the Hawks, and I can't remember who else, but they were just ecstatic. And then I saw him down on the beach.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, my God, yeah. I wish we could come
Clearwater
here every year.
Does a great job. You know, they get the fields in great shape. And so the broadcasting, you know, on ESPN for us is just tremendous. I mean, it's 4 days on all their platforms. And so we couldn't ask for anything better. So it's a great marriage between all of us.
You know, I'm you know, mid-60s, I'll admit it. When I started covering sports, excuse me, in about 97, 98, and evolving, and people tell me, we need to do, you know, girls' sports. I'm like, I'm not really into them. Well, then I had a daughter, and then I realized they need more coverage.
Yeah.
And I was kind of a pioneer in Iowa. And, again, I'm thinking, well, the athleticism, it's just not there. I'm old school, tough, you know, I think I'm a tough guy.
Great sport to watch.
Oh, my God, softball.
Great to watch.
And volleyball.
Oh, yeah.
I love watching both of them. And the University of Nebraska is really solid in women's volleyball.
So for 3 years, I was the promoter of the AVP volleyball tour that came and played here at Spa.
Were you really?
So we brought AVP, professional tour,
yeah.
And we brought FIVB, and this was back in 2014-15, and it was a qualifier for the Rio Games because Brazil was coming up in 16. And so
you had a qualifier here?
We had it actually a Grand Slam, which was an FIVB, so international. So we had Team Brazil. We had all international players here. It was a big deal, yeah.
Huge deal.
And I just see where AVP just sold to Bally. So that's going to take another new chapter in its history. But, yeah, beach volleyball is something that's big here. We're bringing another tournament up to Sheraton Sand Key here in the fall, which is AVP branded, but it's not the professional tour. It's all... The sun goes up, the sun...